Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 734.
Ooh!
That's 734, everyone. 734 of Smart Wrestling Fan. I am Joe Negron, along with Mr. Mutant Larry. Hello.
Hey, Joe. Hey, people listening. What's up?
What's going on?
It's hot in Ohio.
What's your story? I'm sorry. It's hot here, too.
Really?
Yeah. It's been gross out. You know why? Gross. It's like summertime.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's summer. It's the summer of Smart Wrestling Fan. Remember how last week I said, I think we missed our anniversary.
Did you ever check into that?
It was like 3 weeks ago. Whatever. So, yeah, we missed it by that much. So, that's okay.
Missed it by that much.
We did. So, we're going to be talking about wrestling today on Smart Wrestling Fan. And that's what we do here. Also, I'm going to be opening up a gift from Ziggity Z. Has sent me a package here. I assume it's some sort of late birthday gift. I don't know. He just said, I sent you something. Open it on the show. And I said, okay. So I'm doing that. So
I don't know if I trust him.
I have two guesses of what it is, but if I say him, I would spoil it. So I don't want to guess because I'm pretty sure one of them has to be right. So
is one good and one bad?
No, they're both hilarious and funny, and don't guess anything because it'll probably be right. So stop. Don't guess anything.
I have no guess.
Collaborate and listen. Okay, good.
It's not for me. So
yeah. So we're gonna talk about the Raw, the SmackDown, the big new WWE news, of course. We're gonna talk a little bit about there was an AEW pay-per-view this weekend. I bet you didn't even know, Larry.
I didn't know, Larry. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know.
Yeah. That's because it was not very well advertised. And it made me worry about the company a little bit.
Well, maybe I didn't know because I did nothing but sleep and work this weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. That could be why. But it is now 2:31, which means, no, really, my tooth problem is getting better. So I'm glad for that after $2 million at the dentist. Plus, did I mention they never fixed it after all those monies? And I went two visits and then it turned out that $1.47 antibiotics are probably what fixed it.
So they didn't charge you, obviously, since they didn't provide any service, really.
I'm in debt.
Right?
Okay. No. And no. Yeah.
What is wrong with our country?
I don't know. And no one went and donated at smartwrestlingfan.com. So I can't even eat this month because of the dentist. So not because of my tooth. My tooth.
Financially and the teeth.
Right. Both. So
it's a catch 24.
Yeah, it's tough. So I'm going to be getting a 9-to-5er job where you get a paycheck and stuff. So we'll be stopping Smart Wrestling Fan today. This will be our last episode ever because I can't
afford. Maybe you could come work where I work so I don't have to work overtime.
Oh, okay. That would be cool. And then I'll have to do that because we live in America where healthcare is bad and you have to pay for everything out of pocket. Terrible. Anyway. No, hopefully we'll be back next week, but I can't make any promises. Everybody needs to go to smartwrestlingfan.com. Like I said, bottom of the page, PayPal link, donate. You need to go to patreon.com/smartwrestlingfan and please become a patron of the show. The crate baskets were sent out the other day and everybody got those rusty tetanus things. Yep. What are they called? Buttons. Yeah.
Why?
Everyone's so happy. And I give them lots of other goodies too. WWE.
Oh, some people more? Got
action figures and like wacky wall walkers, whatever those things are called. But it's like
the Roman things you throw against the wall and they go down slowly.
Yeah, it's like those, but with WWE guys. Yeah, it's weird.
It's a
blind bag. So you don't know what you're going to get. Like Forrest Gump and stuff. And so those went out. So that's pretty cool. I'm like 2 days late on the Steam games though, so those are going to get sent out soon. But I just want to tell people I was basically out of commission for an entire week because of my tooth. It was the most painful thing I think I've ever had. Like,
oh
yeah, it really was. It's horrible. Like you said, Larry, it's like you could just about tolerate anything else, but the tooth, well, the nerve thing. Yeah, it's because you can't do anything about it. Like I was taking, they gave me Motrin, so I took that, And it's a prescription strength, so it's really strong. So that knocked it out a little bit, but it really wasn't until like day four or five of the antibiotics that anything fixed it. So
yeah, my theory on anything like that is sleep through it, because you're either going to sleep until you get better or you're going to die in your sleep. Either way, you know, problem solved.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I just sleep through everything.
Right. I was ready to cry, Larry, because like bread hurt my tooth. Like I couldn't eat anything. It was horrible. So anyway, that's mostly over. It feels pretty good today, so I'm not going to complain about that. But what I will say is, please go get our free YouTube show. That's TLDR, Too Long Didn't Raw. We have a brand new set. It costs, get this brand new set, guess the price on it. It looks professional, like it's the real set of Raw.
Well, now you make me think I should guess really low, because I was going to go really high, but now you're making it sound like, well, you got a deal.
I can't wait to tell you. It's awesome. I'd say, okay,
so I would have said
yeah,
$70.
Okay. $12.99.
No, it didn't.
I swear.
Did you have like a coupon or something?
No.
How is it $12?
I don't know. I had to pay shipping, so there was that. But yeah.
Wow.
$12.99. And anybody who wants to see it, it's on YouTube, youtube.com/JoeNegron. It's also, we have pictures of it on our Twitter account at SWF Podcast, and also on the Facebook group. So if you want to go look at the picture, it looks pretty cool. It's scale. That's the thing. Before the old Raw set for TLDR, that one was more expensive than $12.99. And that one, wasn't even to scale. It was very small. This one is actual size. So it seems much bigger to me.
Actual size.
Size. Yes. I thought you were going to sing. Okay. So anyway, it was a great deal, and everything has a new look. Like it has a new, more slick, professional look now.
So. She's actual size.
But she seems much bigger to me.
We should just sing They Might Be Giants all night.
We should. Let's try and sing all the songs. Okay.
Okay.
You start a song and then I'll continue it. Okay. I don't know that one.
I hear the wind blow. I hear the wind blow. It seems to say, hello.
Hello.
I'm the one who loves you so.
Hey now, everybody. Hey now, everybody. Hey now, everybody now.
Who's that standing at my window? I found a new friend underneath my pillow. Come on and wreck my car.
Come on and wreck my car.
Come on and wreck my car. Come on and wreck my car. Are you the guy who hit me in the eye?
Are you the guy who hit me in the eye? Please pass the milk, please. Please pass the milk, please. Please pass the milk, please.
Leave me alone, leave me alone. Who's knocking on the wall?
All alone, all by myself. Here's the big finish.
Okay. What's that blue thing doing here? Am I going? Something got a hold of my hand. I didn't know
it grabbed my hand. But that's when all the trouble began. Oh, I've messed it up. It was my trouble. Sorry.
I don't understand you. I don't understand. Where's it going? That song's like 15 minutes.
I just don't understand you. I don't understand you. A thing you say. I don't understand a single word. I don't understand you.
I don't understand. I heard a sound. I turned around
to find a thing that made the sound.
Mysterious.
Okay, that's where we can end right there. Yeah.
Mysterious. This is almost the end, I think.
Oh my god.
Wait, the best part. I'm having a heart attack.
Oh my god, Larry.
No, no one knows what we're doing.
I know.
I hope everyone skipped over this.
Fingertips. Okay, we're done.
I walk alone.
I always thought that one was Morrissey.
Dark.
Corridors. I walk alone. Darkened corridors. What are we doing? Is this a podcast about wrestling?
Wow, yes. This was the one that was supposed to be fairly quick because we only had two shows. Remember?
Crap! You're right.
The longest They Might Be Giant songs there is,
probably. Oh, my God. Okay, so we better get to the news real quick. I just want people to watch our products and stuff. I don't know.
Watch the my whole, product.
Everything's in... I got a drink now. It's not alcohol, but it is carbonated.
Glug, 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 glug.
That's good.
I walk alone.
Seriously, are they mocking Morrissey with that song?
I think
they are.
Okay. Anyway. Okay.
The day that love
came to play.
Okay. We're done now. Stop. No more.
I found a new friend underneath
my pillow. You already did that one. Now you're just repeating.
Oh, did we already do that one?
Yeah. Stop it.
Okay, news, because there is news.
Okay, there's big news, actually. The big news this week. It's interesting. Start with the ratings. Last week's Monday Night Raw managed to score a 1.66, up from the 1.63 that it had. So that's hot. And then SmackDown Live went up from a 1, well, rounded up to 1.3. Now it went up to a 1.4. Ooh, big deal.
So what do they got to do about these low ratings?
Okay, so what you do about the low ratings if you're Vince McMahon is you go, well, look, I have this thing coming up next spring. It's called the XFL. I better hurry up here. Better quick do something about this. Better build that or announce some things. So I'm going to need somebody to micromanage or manage these brands because I can't be on top of everybody 24/7. That's what she said. So I'm going to appoint executive directors for each brand. That's not going to be my kids this time. It's going to be like other people. So Vince said for Raw, we're going to make the executive director Paul Heyman. That makes sense. Heyman's been helping out with the creative on Raw a little bit, you know? So to have him in charge, that'd be pretty good. And then SmackDown, though, well, this might surprise you. They're going to get Eric Bischoff. So wait, you're telling me when Vince goes to run the XFL and AEW shows up this fall, we're going to be having Monday Night ECW and we're going to have Friday Night WCW? What are we doing?
I'm so mixed up with this.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying, in fact, Vince giving up any kind of control is good. But if you're Triple H and you're sitting there and Vince is like, okay, I'm going to name these. Somebody's going to be in charge of each brand. And then he names Heyman and then Triple H is like, okay, that makes sense. Maybe he'll give me SmackDown. And SmackDown, of course, goes to Eric Bischoff. And Triple H is like, oh... And Triple H is, and he's like, well, what, Vince? What? I know you're busy with that NXT stuff, so I'm going to
let you. What were you calling it? WWE Muppet Babies?
Yes. He's like, you take care of the Muppet Babies down there in Florida. We're going to redo the real Muppet Show up here. And it's like, oh, thanks. Thanks for that. So, yeah, this is going to be interesting. It's not, but okay. All that aside, here was the weird part. The weird part is... This press release comes out and like a few hours. And also the press release says these will not be on-screen characters. Yep. These will be just behind the scenes, you know, real executive directors that are going to make decisions about creative on the show.
Lies.
Hours later, a memo, an email thing, like an ad blast comes out from WWE saying, catch Paul Heyman and the Raw brand on this date and catch Eric Bischoff and see what he's going to be doing for SmackDown on this date in July. It's like, wait, what? So apparently Vince was furious because no one checked with him. They just sent this out. So as we saw on Raw tonight, Paul Heyman's not an on-screen executive director. Now, I'm not saying that won't happen in the future. It might happen next week. But as of now, yeah, these are not supposed to be on-screen things. And then on Twitter, you have Seth Rollins stirring up trouble and saying, I have to work for Paul Heyman. I'm not going to ask for a brand switch. I'm just going to make him miserable. It's like, wait, I thought this, is it in character? What's real and what's not anymore? Real life relationship, Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch.
They cannot resist having those two be somewhat characters on the shows. God. There's no way they can resist
that. No, and I think that they... I don't mind if they are characters on the show. The problem
I don't
is
either. It's just they said they weren't
right,
going to be.
But the problem is if they're both heels, the heel authority thing is beat. That's all. You know?
I don't know. I'm so... We talked about this for hours when it happened, and I'm so confused because part of me is worried this is that Vince McMahon thing he does.
Yeah.
When everyone starts blaming Vince for things being bad, he says, okay, I'll give you exactly what you want. You want right. New champions. Gender. What? You don't like new champions? I knew you wouldn't. And now it's like...
Right.
This because this seems exactly what people want. He just gave us exactly what right. everybody
you want
wants.
You want new writers like in the Attitude Era. Well, here's Bischoff and Heyman. Oh, the ratings are still low. I'm going to come save the day. Yeah, I know.
I don't know. Let's just be cautiously optimistic.
Mm-hmm. I am. I think it could lead to great things. The point is, the more hands-off Vince is, the better chance we have of getting a better product. And that's the thing. If he's too involved, he should be involved in only big picture stuff. The day-to-day should be run by guys like Bischoff and Heyman. And then everything, I think, would be pretty normal.
Or should there be new blood? I have no problem. You know,
okay, and that's Paul. The thing. Right. But this is, like, I agree. It might... You might want it to be new blood, but if it's new blood, you don't know what's going to happen. With a track record like WCW and the way that was run, definitely Eric Bischoff is the great guy for you. He's a great choice. Why?
These two names are the only two names that would get this kind of press.
Right. And that the other thing, that's true. But the other thing is, it's the only real two names that Vince knows as far as like competition goes. But the thing is, they were both responsible for driving their respective brands into the toilet, you know? I'm not saying, not as much Paul, okay? But Eric Bischoff, I would say, yes. Look at some of that late WCW stuff. Look at some of the early WCW stuff. Yeah.
His work at TNA really redeemed himself.
And that's just it. So what are we going to get on SmackDown? We're going to get Peekaboo Cam, Jason Hervey.
Reality TV.
The
guy from Scooby-Doo.
Right. No, not Scooby-Doo. The guy from Wonder Years. Different guy. So, yeah. Again, this all remains to be seen. So, we'll stay tuned. We're going to talk about it more in the weeks to come. The only other two big news pieces are that Jinder Mahal's out. He just had knee surgery, so he's going to be out for a while. You want Jinder as champ. WWE champion Jinder Mahal. And then...
Poor Jinder. Didn't he just re-sign a contract?
Yeah. Yeah, here's who just re-signed a contract. Maria, Mike,
Canales. They'll never be used.
Jinder Mahal. It's only people with letter M in their name. And there was one more. Who was it? Muppet Show. That was it.
Oh. Miz.
No. You get to run the Muppet Babies in Florida. How do you like it?
That'd be great.
No, seriously. Who else just resigned? I already forget.
I don't remember because Jinder was the one. I think we talked last week about Mr. and Mrs. Canellis.
Yeah. It was someone shocking. I should just check my notes because I'm sure
it's the Shockmaster.
Oh, Shockmaster. Yep. You got it. That was it. We call him Master, Shock.
Yeah. Oh, God. That
was it. So, isn't that great?
It's great. Wasn't it? You said two stories. What was the other one?
The other one was there was an AEW pay-per-view this weekend.
Oh, that I knew nothing about.
Now listen.
Why are you doing that? What was wrong?
It was called Fighter Fest. That was
Fight
the first
or Fest?
Fighter Fest. F-Y-T-E-R Fest.
I thought it was like Fighter Fest.
Part of the problem was right there. That they were trying to make it into a spoof of Fire Fest, the non-existent... the festival gone wrong, which everyone forgot about already. So that was the first problem. It was like an in-joke that no one cared about. And then the second problem was, this was part two. Last year we got to see this type of show, and it was at CEO, which is one of the fighting game things that they have, where they do esports and stuff, fighting games, like Street Fighter. and they fight against each other in the video game. Well, now Kenny Omega's heavily into this. That's fine. Now, great and everything. But last year it was fine because they weren't working under an AEW banner. This year I expected more professionalism. The main part of the card was really good, except that the chair shot that Perfect 10 Sean Spears gave to Cody, he gave him a real headshot, and Cody needed 12 staples and bled everywhere. It was disgusting.
Purposeful headshot? Or?
Yep. They say after the fact, oh, we didn't mean it to go like that. Still a headshot. You chose that. That was your choice. So, chair shots, headshots in 2019. Other things I don't want to talk about. JR was racist on commentary and said a racial slur.
Race?
I don't want to say right now. He called something that you might call a rug or a flavor of ramen. He called the person.
Oh, okay.
So people might say, well, what's wrong with that? That's not, no, unless you're.
But even, he's old,
people
Joe.
Told people in he's the 60s old. In the 60s people told Archie Bunker that you shouldn't say that, so maybe he's now old, in 2019 Joe. You definitely shouldn't say it.
Certainly he doesn't just sit around on the internet and look up
Mickey James naked. Yeah, he does, and then he accidentally likes it, and then he gets JR.
Come on.
Listen.
This is the funniest thing of the week.
Listen, JR and Mickey James were only recently working for the same company, right? WWE. Only recently. And this is what JR does in his free time. Now, I don't care what JR does. He can look at all the naked women or whatever he wants online. No, that's great.
Save some for me.
No, I know, but I'm saying he could do whatever he wants as far as that goes. But this is one of his colleagues he's looking up on Twitter. He's looking up I don't even want to say the name of the WWE account. It's not official WWE, let me tell you that right now. I don't want to say the name of the account.
So he looked at, but still, then what did he do?
He didn't just look at pictures on that Twitter account that is basically, I don't want to, he didn't just look, he clicked like on it and then got caught and then... And then said, oh, ain't nothing wrong with that, LOL. That's Mickey James always been special to me, wink. So,
what is this
now,
problem?
My point is this. Listen, look at whatever you want on the internet. But, JR, this was just one of your colleagues a few months ago. And you're an old skeevy scumbag. And if you were working together, this would be a lawsuit of some kind. It's just gross. Anyway, I don't want to.
I just don't understand why he. Whatever you
I
do,
don't know.
Just everybody's incognito on the web. That's the superpower. Why is he liking?
Oh my God. I don't know what to say.
I thought it was pretty good.
I like that Mickey James special pictures. Special ones. On that special account. That's not. The unofficial one.
So many people were busting him out and he just didn't get it.
No.
Get Grandpa off the computer.
So Grandpa in commentary wasn't good on AEW. And listen, he had, you know, it's hit and miss. Excalibur was pretty good. My problem with Excalibur is that he always calls some move names wrong, consistently wrong. And I don't understand why. Like, he knows wrestling. He's a wrestler. He was a wrestler. But he calls them by, like, it would be like saying, I don't know, by calling... whatever they used to say, like the deep six, calling that the black hole slam or whatever, like calling it a name purposely from another company that doesn't match with what's going on today. It's just weird to say things like that. And then sometimes you just get to move wrong. Anyway, those are some of the nitpicks. The bottom line was the headshot was not good. And then this is all elite wrestling. The elite part means the best, the cream of the crop, the best of the best. They had the second year in a row. And again, last year this was fine. This year it's not. They had this guy named Jabali, which is too close to Jabroni for me, but that's his real name. And that's his real last name. Okay. And Jabali is like the CEO of this company called CEO. So that's confusing. But he fought, remember Newman, Michael Nakazawa? Remember him?
Yeah.
he fought him for the second year in a row at this show, at this CEO Fest thing. The problem was, this is now All Elite Wrestling. This is now an upgraded program. Larry, it was embarrassing, and he almost broke Nakazawa's neck. It was
really that bad?
Jer Bailey's not a wrestler. He's a CEO of a video game thing.
Oh, I thought you said that was his. I thought that was his character because it sounds so ridiculous. He's CEO of CEO.
I thought that was a wrestling character. This is the guy last year who had no wrestling training, and I'm sure Kenny ran him through whatever moves he had to do, and that's fine. And Kenny did amazing things in DDT, teaching people how to, you know, that didn't know how to wrestle to do just certain things and just follow my lead or whatever. Yeah, but he's not in the ring with Kenny. He's in there with Nakazawa. So, yeah, I was a little upset by the fact that they would... Again, this was just the kickoff or the pre-show, whatever you want to call it. But it's still... This is still AEW's product. They were saying things on this like, this is the first ever one-on-one women's match. Well, if you're going to say that, then this is all canon. And if it's canon, now Jer Bailey's on there. That would be like... Who was the guy, Jon Stewart, that's always in the crowd at SummerSlam or whatever? That would be like... Here's a match with Jon Stewart's plumber against one of our wrestlers. Like, why? There's no, please don't do that. Please don't ever do that.
Maybe they just weren't taking this card seriously.
But later, the show gets really good as it goes. But it just started so weird, and I don't know. Anyway, I had a problem with the other commentator was an esports kid. And everything was, he's gassed. He's gassed out. This match is basically 1v2. Shut up. Please go away. Anyway, so it ended great and everything, but it's again, things on this card were like TNA, watching TNA, and I don't want that for my AEW. I said that on Twitter, but I'm repeating myself now. So anyway, I don't want to talk about it anymore because if I have nothing good to say, I don't want to say anything right now. So let's just pretend that show didn't exist and that Fight for the Fallen one is the next real AEW show. How about that?
I agree because I didn't even know it existed until
you told me. And that's my other problem is exactly. I don't think it was advertised very well. It was a nightmare to find. Fight TV was tweeting that you could watch it and just they wouldn't show any links or anything. You know what the secret was? And I tweeted them and said, yeah, this isn't real. And they said, well, you have to live outside the United States. And I'm like, you know, before I searched for 5 or 10 minutes on your site, and remember on Fight when you search for AEW, it says, is AEW a joke? Remember that? That still is the first thing. So everything's very unprofessional about this whole, the whole presentation. Everything was the opposite of Double or Nothing, which makes me worry.
Well, I'm glad I didn't know about it.
And Larry, the dueling librarians thing was completely horrible.
Oh, what?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. No, it was terrible. Yeah. So okay. I'm very sad. So let's move on. Let's talk about SmackDown, huh? Oh, wait. I have to open my toy here. I'm assuming it's a toy. Both of my guesses are toys.
Wow, what is it? This
thing? Okay, my first guess would have been... Yeah. Okay, I'll tell you my two guesses. One of them was correct. My first guess was going to be Cooking with Alf Puppet because Willie from Alf just died. So I thought that Ziggy Z was making fun of that or something. We don't want to make fun of Willie because he's dead, but we're saying... I'm eating your cat! Ha! Or whatever. Larry, so the second thing, guess what it is? You can do it.
A Willy puppet?
No. It's not Alf related.
Oh, it's not Alf?
Let me shake it.
A puzzle?
Nope. Oh my god, is this brand new? Holy crap.
Is it some kind of Eiffel Tower made out of coffee beans?
Nope, it's a toy. What toy is it, Larry?
Oh my god, is it Mr. Bucket?
Mr. Bucket!
No, it's not.
The original Mr. Bucket! Bucket of fun! Yes!
Does it have the balls, too?
Mm-hmm. Where do they pop out of? Where do they pop out of, Larry?
They... out of his mouth.
Thank you, Ziggity Z. He heard, because remember last week I specifically said, wow, I have a lot of toys, but I don't have Mr. Bucket. Oh my and God. He's like, I'll fix that.
Oh, there's got to be a way to play a drinking game with Mr. Bucket.
This is awesome. Wow. Thank you, Ziggity Z, for this Mr. Bucket toy.
I'll send me a picture of Mr. Bucket.
I'm going to. I'll post the picture online on the board and on the...
Why did they never make a Mrs. Bucket? Oh, can you put big red lips and eyelashes on her?
Yeah, you could, but let's not sing the song then. Okay. Let's not do that.
Mrs. Bucket.
Don't say the rest. Okay, so... Wow, that's amazing. Mr. Bucket is in my house right now. So, okay. Thank you. We gotta get going here because we
said we're coming from inside the house.
Shut up! That's amazing, Larry. What you just said was gold. That was I can't top it. I can't even crack up about it because it's so good. I just want to absorb it and then I'll think about it in the middle of the night when everybody's trying to sleep and then I'll just start cracking up.
Oh, Amy doesn't know there's a Mr. Bucket in the house.
That's true.
Well, I dare you to, like, when she's asleep, to sneak in there and set it going on the floor.
Okay.
Oh, she would be so confused.
I forgot that he's battery powered and he runs around on the floor. What you have to you chase him. I forgot. Larry, I don't remember. I
thought you wind him up?
I don't know. No. I thought for some reason in my head, he just sat there and then you put the things in. But again,
he goes all crazy.
What would the mechanism be? Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we need to do SmackDown. So.
Okay. I'm going to think of. Okay. SmackDown.
Okay. Go ahead. Do SmackDown.
Live from maybe Portland. I don't know. Like, where was it from?
The small city.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Corey Graves, Byron Saxton, and Slender Man are in commentary. Then we get a Shane Roman Reigns video package. So yeah, backstage, Shane just talks to us. Like it's just, we know it's going to be bad. He's just right there. Just
how?
Not even out in the ring. He's just going to talk to us. And
he annoyed me immediately. I didn't want to watch SmackDown right away.
He says he can beat up both Roman Reigns and The Undertaker. And he says, Shane, Undertaker, real yucky on him because I don't come and go as I please. First off, yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
He goes away for a long time, comes back. And
he does.
And then before every show was centered around him, he would just remember when I always ask where he was?
Yeah.
Miss Weeks? That's coming and going as you please.
Yeah.
And Shane can curse because he's the biggest star in the company.
Oh, good God.
Yeah. New Day comes out. Kofi says Joe is like a white shark. Not you, Joe, but Samoa Joe.
Weird.
And then Dolph comes out. I think I literally said what out loud.
Why is he still there?
I don't get it. He comes out and he whines again. And it was one thing when he came out the first time and whined. But then he lost and came out the second time and whined. Now he's coming out a third time to whine, and he's going to get a match against Kofi tonight.
Oh, why?
If he wins, the match of the pay-per-view will be a three-way. Remember when we were like, okay, Dolph is just this you know, blood money placeholder guy, and then he'll disappear again. Wow, Dolph is just a terrible character now. I'm sorry, Dolph, but all you do is whine. And guess what kind of match it's going to be, Joe?
2 out of 3 falls.
Yeah, I've seen
it. Oh, my God.
Daniel Bryan and Robin walking backstage.
Wow. So,
but it's Rowan. Back, and Elias is playing outside of Shane's dressing room, probably because he's not allowed to be in the dressing room. Elias thing confuses me. Yep. Miz comes up, and Miz and Elias argue because Shane showed up to get a match with Shane, and then he says, tell Shane I want to have a match. And then Miz even says, I want to have a match with Shane because everybody's sick of us fighting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now we don't,
Miz leaves. And then Shane, the whole talk was, you can't go in there because Shane's upset. He's upset. And Shane comes out and he's all happy.
Yeah.
Don't know about what. And then Elias says, hey, Shane, Miz wants a match. And Shane says, yes, he can have a match if he can beat you. 2 out of 3 falls. Two out of three falls.
How many 2 out of 3 falls matches are we going to have in 1 week? And then how many are going to have Miz and Elias in them? Oh.
Already or still in the ring. I haven't decided. Xavier or Big E and Big E. Daniel Bryan, finally. Remember when he was walking? He and Rowan finally make it all the way to the entrance
ring. Took the long way.
Yeah. Match, match, match. And during the match, they even talk about how frustrated Kofi must be to have another match with Dolph.
Wow.
If Kofi's feeling that way, imagine what we feel.
Wow.
So we come back and Slenderman tells us this is a critical opportunity for Woods.
Yep. Again, with this talk, and that means nothing.
Byron says that time and time again, they have said that Big E is the game changer of the New Day.
He said that last week, too. What is he talking about?
And then Corey, because the New Day win, and Corey says Big E earned a major opportunity beating Daniel Bryan.
Yep. What was it?
What? Where is he? What is he getting?
What is that?
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn come out, and the heels beat up New Day. Then Heavy Machinery comes out to even the odds, and it's just a big mess. Come back, and it's an 8-man tag
match. Oh, my God.
Team tag match. I don't know what
you're what is call with this.
This is all just, I don't want to see anything, except I do want to see Kevin Owens' reactions to Otis. Why is Kevin Owens so good?
He's awesome.
Otis is in the ring, and Kevin Owens is watching him and just shaking his head and acting. But then he's so frustrated that Kevin Owens leaves Sammy to get pinned by Heavy Machinery.
Whoa.
Which should be a story, but I'm guessing it's not.
No, they'll never remember to do anything about that.
Commentators tell us that Alexa is in Japan, and then we get a really long recap of everything. Oh. And then we're told last night we see that Alexa and Nikki were talking, and the way they explained it was so confusing. I had no idea what was really going on half the night.
Yep.
What it is Nikki gets a match against Bayley. And if Nikki wins, then Alexa gets a rematch at the pay-per-view.
So before Alexa's wrestling a match without doing any moves, then she's winning matches without doing any moves. Then she has a chance here to win a title shot without even wrestling at all. Wow. This is her character now.
So, did they hear you for all these
years
complaining? And they're like, Vince is like, wait, she can't wrestle? Well, then let's have her not wrestle when she wrestles.
Yes, now it's a story.
What is the deal here? Is she like super concussed? And if she is, why is she in the ring?
I don't know.
Everything is just keeping her from doing anything.
It's like my observation about how Maria doesn't bump, and then they turn that into a Raw story.
A very Raw story.
Yeah.
We see Miz walking back, and Shane comes out. He gets his intro, but then Elias is also playing. Is this the first time Elias has played on his way to the ring forever?
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's been a while.
Poor guy. Elias sings about 2 out of 3 falls, really, because I don't want to hear any more about those.
No.
Elias gets the first fall super fast. And then we come back for the second fall, and we're told if Miz beats Elias, Miz and Shane have a match in the future. In the
future. That doesn't mean anything.
No, and it kind of makes me know it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Corey's talking about how sick everyone is of seeing Shane wrestle Miz. Just saying it.
The crowd chant was my favorite part.
But Shane jumps in and attacks Miz, so Miz gets the second fall by DQ, I guess. Even though Shane is the authority figure and could probably change that. But
Yeah, but he'll eat it for that. Reason.
So they just beat up Miz. The crowd chants no more Shane.
Yeah, they sure did.
Not good heat.
No.
This is bad heat. Elias gets third pin. Oh my gosh, Elias won something sort of kind of with Shane's help. And they beat up Miz some more, and Shane can still curse because he's the best guy ever.
This does not count as a win. This is horrible.
In the back limit, Jimmy Smith.
Yeah. Dominic Kimmy Schmidt is back there with Finn Balor.
And Finn Balor talks about Andrade.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I like him, but who's next? Because he's some reason not next. But next is Nakamura because he just happened to walk into the shot, I guess. And honestly, I could see some fans being like, who was that? Because how long since we've seen anything with Nakamura?
Good point. But then,
and what a great setup for a match. He walked into the shot.
But think about it. Nakamura is at this lowest level of a title that's never on TV. Like, this is all not good. I not no doubt the match will be good between them, but it's not. This is setup is terrible.
No, the story is he walked into the shot. It, what?
Yep.
Miz is all beat up. He's walking from the ring. And then the Iconics do a car commercial.
They do.
Maybe my favorite thing tonight. Yeah. Back, Nikki Cross against Bayley. So, like I said, I was so confused as to how everything was supposed to work. But Bayley is in a box, and the box becomes full screen. And Bayley is talking like she has had, I was going to say an appendectomy.
I think a tranquilizer or something. Yeah, something's wrong here. What's
wrong with her?
She's like, well, I'm going to win my match. And then you get to wrestle me, but not you, the other you, Alexa Bliss. I don't remember what she said at all, but it was something like that.
So they wrestle, and they wrestle through the break, which...
Yeah, okay, so then all these two out of three falls, and all these start, stop, restart the match, and then SmackDown breaks those rules. This is the show that Fox is going to get. SmackDown breaks the rules and has matches during the commercial, which Vince said they wouldn't do. What?
So we come back, and Nikki is winning, and then she does win. So, whoa.
Look at that. Alexa is the number one contender without even doing anything.
I do like Nikki, though, so.
So do I.
I'm sitting around. Carmella is walking, looking for truth. She finds Mandy Rose and Mandy Rose's pal. Oh my God. And they argue about nothing.
Do they have? You don't remember her pal's name, do you?
Huh?
You don't remember Mandy Rose's pal's name,
do you? Of course I do. And as I, Sonya Deville, as I scan down my notes.
Oh, you do. And also, did they have magazines in their hands? Not this week.
No. Well, there was only like six magazines. That's true. Sure they went through them.
That's true.
Carmella finds R-Truth hiding, but then Rockstar Spud comes up and R-Truth is like, uh-oh. And Spud says, no, I don't even have a ref because I'm very, very sad. He said, the joke was okay. He said he spent thousands of dollars of his mother-in-law's money on the wedding.
Yes, I love that.
If he would have said Dixie's money.
Oh,
so much fun. I know not all of us would have got it, but yeah. So Truth has ruined Spud's life. And Truth hugs him and he says, I'm sorry. I thought it was Carmella's wedding. And he says, go get a ref. Go ahead and get a ref. And he's like, really? And he's like, no, psych. He says, I love this championship more than you love your wife.
Wow.
So R-Truth is sort of going to turn a heel with it.
He's mean.
Ember Moon is walking. Come back, Ember Moon against Sonya Deville. Mandy Rose ringside. Match, match, match. I really like that Sonya. Well, I don't like it. She is. But I approve. I don't have to approve because it's a perfectly valid alternative lifestyle. But I like the Sonya Deville being gay stuff. But it's weird when a heel is something like, you know, so she has the gay pride kind of stickers and stuff on her stuff. It's the same with Dolph and having the butt flag.
It's a little confusing, but this is good. I just don't understand after the match. Go ahead, explain this.
So Sonya wins it easily.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is Ember Moon leaving?
It was weird to see Ember lose so easily, but then also after the match was the confusing part. Because after
you covered them.
Because after the match, Deville Mandy Rose are like they're getting married or they're gonna go out on a date or something, which is great and fine. Except I didn't think that the story was gonna be that Mandy's confused this whole time and then Sonya's gonna be like, do you want to go out for dinner? And Mandy goes, oh wait, did you think I was gay?
Oh God!
And then Sonya's like, oh no, I did, but okay, never mind. Is that the story?
No, I don't think the story has been lost.
Yeah, there never really was one, I guess.
Yeah, it was. They were hinting around. And honestly, to Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville's credit, I think they were trying to, because I would notice that Mandy was thinking, oh, the story is I don't help her out because I'm secretly not her friend. But everybody else is like, we don't care enough to really write that in.
That's true. That's true. I remember that now. But now my favorite part of the whole night, and I was so excited for something to happen.
So we go to Aleister Black, which you shouldn't be excited for something to happen here because nothing ever does. He's going insane because he's set in the same room for weeks. If you really look at this, Bray Wyatt's funhouse is more realistic than this story. How is he sitting in the same room? Where is this
room? Oh, wait, by the way, you forgot to mention that when Carmella... Did you say it? When Carmella was there with Sonya and Mandy, that Ramblin' Rabbit was like hiding in the background?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, he was there. Okay, just letting people know. Go ahead.
So, like I said, where is Aleister Black sitting? Does he go to SmackDown every week and sit in a room? Is he in the original where he started sitting, whatever arena that is? Is he in his parents' basement?
Right.
If he's any of these other places, why would someone come there to knock? How do they know he's never said where he is? I don't. But anyway, he's going crazy in there, but all at once he hears a knock and he smiles, but that's it.
But the point is, finally somebody knocked. So I get all excited. I'm like, oh, and you forgot to mention at the beginning of the show, Huskus, the pig boy, was back, like standing there when I think Brian was walking with Rowan or something. But the point is, these are just background puppets. This is like Where's Waldo? You spot the puppet, whatever. But I got so excited because I was like, okay, after the show last week, I called Larry and I started freaking out. And I was like, Larry, oh my God, what if... What if the puppets see? Because clearly, if you remember, 2 weeks ago on the show, I said, "Yeah, Bray Wyatt at the end of his Firefly Funhouse teleported out of the Funhouse." So I said that's like the final chapter of the Funhouse story. That part's over. So now Bray's going to be stalking people in real life. So he brought the puppets out with him, and I called up Larry and I was like, "Oh my God. What if they're the ones that are knocking on Aleister Black's door and he goes out there and he answers it and there's nobody there. But when he walks through the door and closes it behind him, he's in the funhouse and they've like teleported him in there. And then he's trapped in a madness TV show with these puppets and things. And he has to like, and his thing could be to run up to the camera and like bang his hand on your TV screen and yell, "Let me out," like Bray Wyatt's "Let me in."
Yep.
Yes. And this could be a thing. So now I'm hoping that because, okay, if it wasn't Bray Wyatt at Aleister Black's door, who was it?
Well,
because if we get to SmackDown tomorrow and Aleister's just standing in the middle of the ring and he's like, "Okay, someone knocked on my door. Don't know who it was."
Oh, how bad.
That's terrible.
What's funny is that's so darn bad, but there's still about a 46%.
I know. I'm thinking there is. And even if the feud is with Bray Wyatt, I bet you that's it. He's like, "I'm not playing games. Who did the
knock and dash or whatever?
Doorbell ditch or whatever it's called. Yeah. Who did that?" That's what's going to happen, isn't it?
Oh, that'll be
I have cool. All these great ideas, and I'm like, yeah, he gets stuck in there, and then he has to, like, 1 week, Bray turns him into a puppet, and then he has to, like, you know, and then 1 week, he's, like, a cartoon, and then the next week, he's, like Bray's trying to give him a lobotomy on, like, a doctor's table, and, like, eventually, he pretends to have Stockholm Syndrome so he can, like, befriend Bray, and then he tries to befriend the puppets, and then they betray him. There's all these stories we could do of him being trapped in the TV, and then when we, on SmackDown or Raw, are watching these vignettes, people are like, "Wow, that Aleister Black sure is weird," even though he's stuck in there, like, in real life.
There's so much you could do with it. If he would have just open the door and it was written on the outside of the door, "Let me in," that would have been good.
Oh
enough.
My God. Yeah. Could
have teased it for the next.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens, but I do want to watch SmackDown this week to mm-hmm. see what it is. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Dolph goes to the ring. Wow. I don't want this.
Oh,
this is the main event.
Oh my God.
Kofi gets the first fall. Then we have a reset, but Dolph gets the attack. We come back for a second fall, and it's a really quick. If we're going to do this three fall thing, these real quick pins are getting really annoying. No time at all. Dolph gets a pin, so now we get the long part of the match. So it's just, why is it even? Why did the first? It's just always the last match. Kofi gets a final pin. Wow. And during the whole match, the commentator were just, "Oh, Kofi's such an underdog here. How? He's beat him twice. And Dolph is not that big of a challenge coming in." It's just...
It's embarrassing. Yeah. But I was shocked because usually when you say then they'll be added to the match, that almost always happens then.
Unless you have absolutely nothing for the show and this is just adding.
Yeah,
I guess. Which Which is even worse. Even worse. This was just Patty. The end. Dolph disappears. Wow. He has to disappear now, right? Oh, my God. Does he interfere in the match? That would be terrible.
I swear to God. He better not be on SmackDown tomorrow. I'm going to read an email about the SmackDown and stuff.
One?
This one says, well, it's like general, I guess.
Okay.
It's from Slow Bro Brazil Jr. And it says, during my week off, I decided to watch Stomping Ground. Why would you do that? Stomping Grounds.
I still can't believe that's the name. Okay, I laughed like it was a joke.
Right. Raw and SmackDown Live had its highs and lows, and then it trails off. And then the next paragraph says, greetings, SWFers. Sorry, I had to restart my letter due to a commercial. Not really crazy about the decision to not wrestle during commercial breaks. It cheapens a good match when you have an elimination match or best of three every week for nothing. I never had an issue when SmackDown put the match on a small screen when the commercial ran, besides Elias singing during the break. What are the people in the arena supposed to do? Get a beach ball? Greetings, SWFers. Sorry, had to follow the rule of threes. Thank you. See, he knows how to do the email. That's good. Thank you.
Well, I just found out that during the Raw this week that Ziggler and Ziggler's tag team guy.
You don't mean Ziggler.
No, Dolph? I don't mean Ziggler. The other Z.
Oh, my God. Ryder and Hawkins.
Yes, Hawkins and Ryder. They came out and had a nice little conversation about their future, and we don't get to see it.
Wow, good.
Why? We've done this every week. Every week after Raw or SmackDown, it could be a few hours or a day later, I find out something happened that I was kind of at least tangentially interested in, and I didn't get to see it.
That's the thing. We got to see a few... that's the thing. We get to see a few different characters that aren't normally on Raw tonight. And even though I know it's stupid or they're jobbers or whatever it is, I'm still interested because it's something different. So, yeah, we're starved right now for good entertainment. So if you don't have any SmackDown emails, I want to get right into Raw because this is important.
Yeah, this is the big thing this week.
Yeah, let's talk about Raw.
Talk about this.
Let me get my notes here so we could talk about it. But Monday Night Raw, and they're from somewhere, live from Dallas, Texas. They say, when we open the show, we're already like advertising stuff. They're not even going right into the action. They're like, tonight, Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch live. What?
On Raw?
On Raw? Well, I never saw that. And, oh, look, and also Wild Card Big E and... Xavier Woods versus the Viking Raider Experience.
Wait, doing this wild card thing.
Why'd they say wild card there? They don't, like last week, they said it one time. And it's like, why even bother? We know there's no more wild card. There were like 50 people from SmackDown on tonight. Mr. Bucket.
What is the deal with wild card? And what is the deal?
Airplane food. Why don't they just... And they say the rumors are swirling. And then it says on the screen, in quotes, the Undertaker situation. What? What does that mean?
Situation? A wrestler.
What? And why are we seeing all this before we're like anything? What is this first? And then this is weird. We accidentally switch. It was a switcher error to a shot of the NXT Tag Team Champions, the Street Profits backstage for like 2 seconds. Now listen, I wouldn't put it past them. For Paul Heyman to have done this and said, it's going to be great. People will be tweeting about the Street Profits because they weren't supposed to be shown. I was
wondering about that too.
Yes, and that's it. That's perfect. Very smart.
Kind of smart.
Yep, because we could just bring them on and we don't have anything for them to do. But if you just accidentally show them, then it's like, whoa, who else is back there? You know, it's exciting. So anyway, Braun Strowman versus Lashley in a Falls Count Anywhere match. It opens the show, and this was advertised a few days ago that it was going to be on Raw. This was going to be the 1-2-3 match, the regular fries match to their tug of war and their whatever rope skipping and the what other one was their arm wrestling, all those things. So that's good. It's really, really good. It's great. Falls Count Anywhere. They fight everywhere, and then here's the big spot. They fight to the ramp, and then they break through the the LED board. They like Braun kills Lashley through the board. And then I just think, I just got this set. It was only $12.99. Am I going to have to destroy the TLDR set already? I was going to record the episode today. Now I don't even want to. I'm scared. I'm not happy about it.
It's have to be destroyed.
I don't know. And then they, okay. And then we get a crane shot of the broken set for about 5 minutes. Because so this is supposed to be like, they're like panicking. Because they like, we're supposed to believe this is real. So everybody's confused. This crane shot just, I mean, it goes on forever. They bring in stretchers. When we come back from break, we get a thank you Heyman chant. So that's nice. But they load Lashley into an ambulance and then they stretcher out Braun into a separate ambulance. Then the commentators. The
Undertaker's driving it.
That's true. Buckle up, Buttercup. Then we get really somber commentary. And Cole's like, listen, when things like this happen in WWE, we're usually ready for these kinds of things, but we weren't ready for this one. That's where all the power is.
It's not fake.
I don't know, but you know what? We're not ready for this. They have two ambulances there and a million EMTs. How are you not ready? What? He's like, but that's where all the power is. You could hear a guy scream, cut off the power. By the way, when this happened and went through the wall, Corey said, holy poop, and they did not get it bleeped out in time. So, yeah, that was on there. You might not have noticed. And on the replay, it will not be there. So you're going to have to find another version of it out there. It's on Twitter.
Are we supposed to think there's like some kind of generator back there?
Yes, or even though when we saw back there, there was nothing there. Why would there be a generator behind an LED board?
I don't understand. You're saying
it's just lights. What?
That is one thing wrestling never gets right. They don't understand electricity. I've never seen electricity done correctly in wrestling ever. Ever.
And they had a lot of pyro and explosions for a show with no pyro and no explosions. Yeah. So that was pretty good. Now, when all that's over and Cole's done being somber, the War Viking Raiders experience come out and we go to break. When we come back, it's Viking Raiders versus the New Day. Well, the little bit of the match we see is pretty good, but then Samoa Joe comes out and grabs Xavier Woods, so it does disqualification, and then Kofi comes out to save Woods, and everybody fights, and we go to break again, and guess what? The match is restarted as a six-man tag. What a shock. Restart it. So, it's a very good match, though. It's nice to see War Viking machines or whatever on Raw. Even though I don't understand why they would be heels, it makes no sense. But anyway,
I want to see them, but I want to see them in something.
Yeah, do something, not this. There. This is a waste. Yeah, because guess what? This match isn't about them at all. And in the end, Samoa Joe just chokes out Kofi Kingston, and then the heels win strong, but because of Samoa Joe. So, yeah. So that's something. But hey, Larry, you didn't get enough of this from SmackDown, so I'm going to tell you what's next. Tonight, it's Miz versus Elias. 2 out of 3 falls again.
I just don't even.
Oh, my God.
I don't even.
Isn't that... That's... No. You can't... But you... No. Backstage. Drake Maverick, Rockstar Spud Man. Hornswoggle, whatever his name is. Spud brings his wife, who I guess is Jasmine from Aladdin, in. Why was she wearing Jasmine's outfit? What was that?
I don't know. Is she somebody I'm supposed to know?
She's not like a some whole indie new person, world. I don't know. Why was she wearing the same outfit from the movie, from the cartoon? Anyway, that's just a coincidence. But the point is this. His wife is some wrestler. Oh, I don't know who she is. Okay. Her name's Renee something.
Dupree.
But not Renee Dupree. Yes, with Fifi. Yes, yeah. Remember Rescue from Gilligan's Island and Mrs. Howell? Part of the comedy was Mrs. Howell got Alzheimer's and she thought that Fifi, her dog from Hawaii, was there on the island, and that's why Gilligan almost died from the tornado or the monsoon or typhoon. That's it. Remember that? That was a plot point.
Was it because she had Alzheimer's, or are you just making that up?
I'm saying she started to go like PTSD or something.
Yeah.
Or old age or whatever, and she's like, oh my God, the storm, Fifi's out there in the storm. And then Gilligan went out to look for a dog that didn't exist, and then he almost died.
I would take any opportunity to put Gilligan's life in danger just because
okay, But as many times as he screws stuff up, he saves them. So I don't know.
No, well, yes, usually from a problem he you know.
Yes, but
he
I'm
will
saying.
Save. Okay, here's what it is. Oh no, here's this thing that we could get off the island with. Gilligan will screw it up, and it's it's going to kill us all. But then he will save us from dying. But then he's destroyed.
I guess it was his fault in the first place. Island. Yeah.
So
okay, that's right.
It's a net loss.
That's right.
Even though your life has been saved.
Who's Annette? So yeah, I don't know. But this woman, the Renee woman that Spud married, they're married. And the angle is that she hates Spud because he likes the title more than her. So she has headphones and blindfold on, so she can't see or hear anything.
How long are we supposed to believe she's had these on?
For probably days, because they probably flew from another country to here. So, yes. So he takes the blindfold off, and she's like, oh, we're at our honeymoon. And he's like, oh. And she's like, where are we? And he's like, we're at Raw, backstage at Raw. And she's like, this is not where I went for my honeymoon. I do not want to be here. I hate you. And then Dana Brooke comes in and they're like, this is my wife. And Dana Brooke's like, hi, wife of Spud. I don't understand what this is, but Spud is basically obsessed with the 24/7 title.
I don't understand. Says, is he or isn't he?
No, he's not.
Because it seemed like he was trying not to be, but then why did he come to Raw?
Right.
And then, also, Dana Brooke got a little segment that we didn't get to see. If you want to know what's going on with her, you can't.
You can't. She was flexing with the crowd and doing other things this week. But Spud's wife says, yeah, you're obsessed with that title. And he says, no, I'm not. And Truth comes and they hug or kiss or whatever. And Truth comes in and basically plays Bugs Bunny. He stands there and taunts. That's what this is, right?
Yeah, Truth is a jerky.
Yeah, he comes in as a jerk. And he's like, what's up, Doc? And you know, right? It's like the day Elmer Fudd told his wife that he wasn't going to hunt rabbits anymore. That's what this is.
Elmer Fudd was
never married. No.
Okay.
So, yeah. So Spud's looking at Truth like, how could you do this to me?
Would her name be Emma? Emma Fudd?
Yeah. That's how he pronounces it, too. so backstage, Gallows and after the break, Gallows and Anderson are talking, and AJ Styles comes in. I hated this segment. He's like, none of this made any sense, and then it turns really gross. Because AJ says, hey, you guys, you lost your match last week against the Viking Experience. You guys suck.
Good point. But
then they say, well, how about your match against Ricochet? You almost lost. Wait, you mean won? Nope. He won.
Yes, this doesn't make sense.
This is stupid. So they're like,
yeah, I was really enjoying where I thought this whole thing could go for the past 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And this one segment ruined it all for me.
It did. And then he's like, okay, then it gets worse. So then Machine Gun Carl Anderson goes, you know what? I bet you, Styles, and I'll bet you my hot Asian wife that you will not win the U.S. title against Ricochet. Wait. He's betting a human? Like his wife? Like AJ gets to borrow her or keep her? Is she property?
This was not a turn of phrase either. This was like they were making the actual...
Yeah, what? Can you do this? No, you can't. But even
I don't
if
know.
It's
ask AJ's wife.
But here's the thing. Exactly. Ask AJ Styles' wife. Ask AJ's kids that are watching Raw right now. Yikes.
And AJ isn't like, ooh, gross, what are you talking about either?
He's like, that's fine. Whatever you say. And then when AJ leaves, then Gallows says, wait, were you serious about the wife thing? And the answer was probably, yeah. Yikes. I don't understand.
This was really out of place and really bad, and this was a misstep.
Yeah, it was.
And I know I don't know if he just feels like he's giving a shout out to his wife.
Right.
But this is not good.
No, you don't want to use her in a sentence like that, like as a bet. You don't want to. Oh, boy. Okay, so now we get even weirder. This is going to get piled on weird tonight because No Way Jose and the Conga Line come out to the ring. Cesaro is already in the ring, so I guess this is supposed to be a match. But just like last week when I said Slater and Mojo are already in the ring, that's never going to be a match. I knew this was never going to be a match, okay? Excuse me. Drake Spudman and his wife with the Aladdin outfit on is in the crowd. And now she is happy all of a sudden. Why is she happy to be at Raw?
I don't know. I guess because she likes being in the audience. She didn't want to be backstage, which,
wow.
Why would you want to be in the audience? You can be in the audience anytime.
Right.
She should be excited to be backstage.
So Truth comes out and he's like, what's up, Doc? Gave up eating rabbit? Yeah. Still don't want to eat that rabbit? And Spud's like, are you? So then all the jobbers that love the 24/7 title so much run out and there's a big chase to the back. And then Cesaro decides to dump No Way Jose on his arm on the floor and like break it. And then they fight and that's a neutralizer. And then Cole goes, well, we know this match will never start. And then we cut away. How did Cole know that they wouldn't start the match?
We've seen matches start after insanity.
This is just like the Slater Mojo thing. I hate it that on the sheet it says schmoz or whatever, so Cole knows already because he spoils it. Stupid. Backstage, Charlie talks to the Street Profits, so that was them at the beginning of the show. Look at that. Larry, I like these guys so much better on NXT. Oh my God, they've only been on my screen 30 seconds and I'm mad. They're like the repeaty, annoying Usos too.
They're trying.
They're doing really the hard. words. You say, I say. Then I talk, then you talk. And it's really annoying. And then Montez Ford, who is, first of all, Angelo Dawkins, congratulations, you're on Raw. I am shocked that that ever happened. And
it took a while.
I'm very happy for him. But Montez Ford, you are the breakout star of the group. You were the guy on NXT that I was pushing for so much. He does his gimmick now on Raw for some reason as he does imitations. Ew. He tries to be The Rock and even Dawkins shakes his head. None of this works. The crowd doesn't want it. This whole segment's terrible.
Anywhere.
I hate this. And they're going to be on later too.
They get worse later, or at least they explain why they're so annoying later.
I guess. Now, Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre walking. When we come back from break, Renee says she has a medical update. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Lashley and Strowman are still at the medical facility. That is not an update, Renee. No. Backstage, Sarah Schreiber's dumb too. And she's like, we will get the update when we know the update people. And here's the Miz. Hey, Miz, what's going on? And Miz is like, hey, Undertaker, you want to come out during my match? It's fine with me. Okay. So Shane and Drew come out to the ring. Cole even says Shane McMahon's intro is irritating. Michael Cole is saying that.
We keep talking. They are talking about how it's not good heat. Just because people are upset, that's not good.
Nope. They just don't want to watch it. Shane botches all his lines because he's Shane. And then he says, Roman Reigns, I know you begged the Undertaker to help you. What story is this?
There's no story
to talk about. So wait. So Shane really thinks that Undertaker is magic and that if you like summon him while you're being beat up, he will show up. That's what this is. Are you kidding?
He stood in front of a mirror and said his name.
Because he didn't mean tonight because Reigns isn't even here. Oh my God. So Drew says, I'm not afraid of the Undertaker. And then Taker messes with the sound and lighting and he strikes the ring with lightning. Again, for a company that doesn't do pyro, there's a lot of it tonight. Undertaker comes out. He takes 50 years to get to the ring. While he walks to the ring, Shane mocks him. And so does Drew. I don't think that was supposed to be on camera. But then...
Well, I don't understand because who is protecting who? They're acting like... They're both acting like I can mock the Undertaker because I have this guy next to me. And I'm like, wow, that's...
Yeah, that's not good. Because didn't last week he beat you both up? And yeah. And then also, so then Shane... Now all of a sudden Shane's scared as the Undertaker gets closer to the ring. So he grabs Drew and they run into the crowd and hide. So... And then Corey has his own little story. And he's like, oh no, they're just waiting over there because it's a strategy and they're going to beat up Undertaker. What? And then Taker has to explain. He's like, Shane, you're wrong. Roman Reigns didn't summon me for help. Yeah, because that's stupid. Why would anybody ever think that? Why is this even a talking point? And I'm here to collect your souls. And then he goes on this, Taker goes on this really long rant about how Shane might be best in the world in this dimension or this earth, but he's going to send Shane to a different dimension where it's all smelly and old and in like a different universe where he's not the best. What is this?
And then earlier, Shane points out, oh, Undertaker, I've battled you a couple times. You don't want to say that.
No.
Some of us remember, but you don't want to say it. And then when he comes out, he's like, Undertaker's like, I respect
you. That's true. And they're bringing up all their old stories. We don't need that.
Now you're a heel.
Yes.
You don't go over your whole past.
No.
It's wrestling. You can't do that every time.
And I don't care.
Once I was a good guy and you were bad. And then we were both good. And then we had a heel turn. And then you don't. Just ignore all that.
It's really stupid.
Doing this.
I hate it. And then
I think it's almost, I do one glimmer of hope. This tonight kind of seemed like, I'm giving way too much credit, I'm just hoping that maybe this whole story was really going to keep going and going and going, and right now they're like, okay, let's try to wrap this up. Maybe they will wrap it up with Taker.
I have a feeling wrap it up, and then Reigns is going to spear Undertaker, give him a Superman punch, and it's going to be all stupid, and that's going to go on forever.
Well, that can. I just want rid of Shane. I mean, it's just...
Yeah. Either that, or Shane's going to pin Undertaker, and then after Taker wakes up, he's going to goozle Reigns, and that's going to be a feud we don't ever want. But anyway, so yeah, Undertaker says they'll never rest in peace, and I'm very confused. So it's fine. But now backstage, Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans. I hope
they play that clip when Shane really dies in real life.
Wow. That's where he is. That's where Taker sent him.
It's so sad. Not just because he's dead, because he'll never rest in peace.
No, he never will. He's in that other dimension where he's not the best in the world. Oh, my God. How weird. So Lacey Evans is putting on makeup, and Corbin's looking right into the camera talking to us. This is weird. And
this is something else that needs to go away.
Yeah, and Lacey's like, I have a match against Natalya tonight. And I'm like, no one cares.
We are looking at two serial losers here.
I know.
Why should we care at all? I do like the gimmick. I think I was upset about the whole relationship gimmick because I thought it wasn't going anywhere.
Oh, I know.
This could be fun. This could be fun. It could be fun. Not with these two.
No, that's a problem.
They're the Dolph Ziggler.
Okay, it's not that bad. Why are
so many losers getting title shots?
I don't know. And so many not believable people. And then there's people you want to win, like Samoa Joe, but unfortunately he's going against Kofi, who you think can't afford to lose right now. So
it's not time for that.
No. So, okay, after all that stuff backstage, we cut back to the ring. Undertaker's still hobbling to the back. He wasn't injured or anything. He didn't get into a fight. He's just walking very slowly.
Wow, he was fighting Father Time.
I guess so.
I'm pretty sure he took a licking.
Oh, already in the and when we come back from break, already in the ring, Natalya versus Art of the Ring Lacey, with already at ringside Baron Corbin. So that's good. Backstage, Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins watch the match. Graves basically says this story, which he predicts the interview later. Again, hate it. He's like, well, I'm telling you, if Becky Lynch loses Rollins' title for him, then they're going to hate each other. They're going to be at each other's throats, and they're not going to be a couple anymore. And it's like, could you let us see that for ourselves? Did you have to tell me that? Yeah. Baron Corbin trips Natalya. How often do you see that?
Well, no, yeah. I mean, I understand what you're saying there.
You don't. Woman's or women's right. I don't know which one it is. Lacey wins with the dumb punch.
Oh, I can't wait for Lacey to go away.
She's going to be around for a long time. Like, if she doesn't win the title from Becky, she's going right over to SmackDown to win it from Bayley. I couldn't remember her name. Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really? Because I think Alexa's going to win this.
Don't say that. Backstage, Ricochet and talks to Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins. And then Charlie comes in and kicks them out to interview Ricochet. She's like, oh, you're jobbers. You lost your titles. Get out. And then she's like, hey, Ricochet. Hey, you suck. You lost to AJ Styles. What's your thing here? Why is she so mean?
And poor Ricochet tries to speak.
Yeah, he's like, I want to be a champ. I make no mistake. I think Gallison Anderson. Yes, he made a mistake saying the line about the mistake. And then Gallows and Anderson come in, and they're like, hey, hey, AJ Styles is better. You can't beat AJ Styles. Yeah, guess what? He's going to get you. And Ricochet's confused, and he goes, well, if this is about the U.S. title, I'll put it up against one of you guys. And he's, and they're like, no, no, not us. You're in trouble with somebody else. And they leave, and you think it's Razor Ramon. Did you think
that was a fourth person?
That's what it sounded like. But no. Well,
why would you say, ooh, somebody else?
And they did the Razor Ramon thing when they did it. Against. Like the, ooh, I'm scared. What the F was that? Right. Oh, my God. Miz walking, and guess what? Mercy the Buzzard is there from the Firefly Funhouse. He's in the background. That's the only puppet I saw all night. Now, I'm not saying there weren't more. I just, that's the only one I saw.
Is that the second Miz with a puppet?
First one was with Abby the Witch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you saying he's after Miz?
No, just it would, at first I was like, oh, it's people with titles. And then like, well, no, Miz doesn't have a title. And then now Miz has been two times.
Would you love if all this was the long con to get the 24/7 title that didn't exist when this first started?
No. But it is perfectly believable eventually a puppet will win it because everybody else will win it.
That's true.
At some point.
Back from break, backstage, Gallows and Anderson go to AJ Styles and they lie to him to cause trouble. What are they doing? I think they're bored. I don't
know. It's like they don't like AJ.
Right. I think they're just bored. So they're like, AJ, hey, Ricochet said bad things about you. And AJ's like, is that so? And he runs after Ricochet and finds him and they argue. And Ricochet says, is this about a US title match? Because I'll give you one tonight. And they shake hands and go, you're on, Larry. This was booked this morning on .com. What? So that's another continuity error. But anyway, AJ just slaps Ricochet in the face and Ricochet slaps him back. And then I thought it was going to be like a start of some kind of strong style thing and they didn't do anything else.
I've been wanting to ask you this question for like 2 weeks. I keep forgetting during the show. Will a celebrity win the 24/7 title match at SummerSlam?
I think we already talked about this.
Oh, did we? Oh,
maybe on the phone, maybe not on the show. Yeah. And I said it was probably going to be Jon Stewart, and you said it was somebody else. Yeah.
Somebody's winning. Yeah. Some celebrity's going to win it.
I agree. Yep. It's going to be the Saturday Night Live guys. I'm going to be like, we came in from New York.
Herk. No. They're done. Please go.
Never. Yes. I know. Ladies and gentlemen, Elias. And Miz comes out to interrupt and doesn't let Elias do his song. And guess what? It's Elias versus Miz, 2 out of 3 falls matches, 2 in the same week. Do we need that?
I can't even remember this match.
No.
I can't remember it.
Here's Michael Cole again because they know everything because of the breaks now. He ruins it. He goes, just to let everybody know, the break's going to happen after the second fall. What if one guy wins them both? Then we're just, not going to celebrate. We're just going to go to commercial. What? And so Cole says that immediately, 10 seconds from that time, skull crushing finale, Miz wins the first fall, drift away, Elias wins the second fall. I swear that was all within a minute 30.
What is the purpose of these?
I've never seen such bad 2 out of 3 falls matches. You can't do this just because of this weird break thing you want to do when it makes the match quality suffer.
No, and the thing is, you're doing a harder match. A 2 out of 3 falls match is a harder match to keep people's interest.
Yep.
You're doing a harder match to cover for easy single fall matches. The default value here is single fall just a match.
Grand championship. When we come back from break, Elias taps out to the figure four. What a jobber. That happened, everybody. Someone in 2019 tapped out to Miz's figure four. Yeah.
Who was it?
It was Elias, ladies and gentlemen.
What is going on?
Yeah. Elias is garbage. Maybe
something I don't know, but I thought he was a superstar. I'm sorry.
They said that he was when he was on screen with Vince McMahon and brought to SmackDown. So, yeah. Backstage, Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins stand there with Charlie. And when we come back from break, it's the Becky and Seth interview. And here's the stuff that Graves knew about. Thanks. Because first of all, this is terrible. Because Rollins says, I want to wish Bobby Lashley a speedy recovery, even though he's a heel, because that was, he went into the power banks. He's so injured. What are we doing? Why are we acting like that was real?
I don't.
Also, Cole's comment, these are just two human beings. Braun's supposed to be the monster. Okay. If we're now saying Big Lashley and Big Braun are just two little wimps, is that what we're saying?
I don't know. Are we trying to reset that some things are super serious?
That's dumb. Because what happens when something is serious? Yeah.
I do. And it's wrestling. It just, it was so overplayed that it made us feel, it made this weird. It didn't work out.
It made me mad because what happens when something real happens now? No one's going to believe it. It's a boy who cried wolf. Okay, so Rollins says, maybe I shouldn't have agreed to any kind of match that Baron Corbin wanted last week. I'm not an impulsive guy. And Becky's like, and she doesn't want to correct him. But then they argue with each other about how they better not lose each other's titles, just like Graves said. And then she says she sleeps with the title. And I thought Rollins was, I swore he was going to say, instead of me. but he did say, and that's causing problems. And then other stuff they talk about, I don't even remember, but the point is this. All of a sudden, this alien comes in. I had to think for a second who this was. It was Maria. And she's like, wow, you're a junkie power couple. You know, we were the power couple before you. You know who I mean. And they bring in Mike Kanellis. And once again, not recognizable anymore. He comes in.
So they came in there just like, well, the only other couple is Selena Vega and Andrada. So
no, you said his name wrong. You lost me $5.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks to Octopus Mask. He did donate the $5 because you were close enough. But now you lost it. You lost me $5. Good job, Larry. Why did you call him that all of a sudden?
I don't know. Okay, and other. But yeah.
You don't know the difference between Da and Day. Really?
No. And day, usually, but still. No, but yeah, there's no couples, so we have to have a couples match with somebody who doesn't even wrestle. And first off, isn't there a storyline in 205 that he quit the company and left?
That's what I heard, but I don't watch it, so I don't know. I don't watch that stuff.
Write in and tell us. Because he's involved in the storyline where he left. And now we get this whole weird storyline, Joe, that you're going to have to explain. Because I don't want to explain it.
Okay. Well, it goes way further because they want a mixed tag match. Maria says things that I don't want to talk about. She says,
You kind of have to.
Okay. She says, okay, I'll bring my B, meaning the B word, which is Mike. And she says to Rollins, and you can bring yours, calling Becky that. Whoa. Okay.
Who was she saying was the B?
Mike Kanellis and Becky Lynch.
Oh, I thought she said it was Mike Kanellis and
Rollins? Seth. No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, well, then that's not... Okay, whatever. It's not going to be good anyway.
I mean, the way she pointed and looked was that, but maybe she meant it the other way. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't matter. After the break, Renee says, update, possible ruptured spleen, extra, extra, read all about it. So that's good. Here we go. Mixed tag thing. It's Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch versus Maria and Mike. Wow, they actually have an entrance. By the way, it's Mike Kanellis. Maria Kanellis. Kanellis with an E-L. Cole keeps saying Can-Alice. Like, Kanellis actually clean the kitchen at the Brady house? All night. Can-Alice. Since when? He's never pronounced it like that.
So, Joe, what was their gimmick when they came into WWE?
They were the married couple that loved each other so much and that he just loved totally her so much that he took her last name. That's the story. Yep.
So in love.
So they're so in love. So, okay, this is the part where I take bets on whether Maria's going to bump or not. And guess what? I win. She doesn't bump. I would love to see a match between Alexa Bliss and Maria. It would be like, they would be like two.
I think that's called an interview.
Well, I think that would be like, yes, two magnets that are like the opposites. And then they would be like they'd spin around. They'd create a perpetual motion machine. They'd spin around each other and they wouldn't be able to touch. Yeah.
Just constantly going into the ropes.
Yeah, exactly. So she tells Mike, Mike, you're horrible. You're the worst. She gets on the mic and says, you're the worst. You're the worst. And Becky Lynch is going to punch her. And she says, don't punch me. I'm carrying a child now, you see. Look at my stomach, how big it is. And Becky's like, really? And then Mike says, wait, how would that happen?
Exactly, which sets up, wasn't he, didn't you think he was going to say, I was had a...
Well, if this is Paul Heyman, right, he had a vasectomy or whatever, but yeah, if this is Paul Heyman's show, then this is the Beulah and Tommy and, you know, Raven thing or whatever. This is all that story. So then Maria says, well, it's certainly not yours or whatever, but it's, that's not where they went with it.
No, it's not, but so, it makes no sense.
She says he can't even give her a child because he's such not a man, and that Becky Lynch is more of a man. And then Becky makes Mike tap out, and then Maria mocks Mike some more and says that she can't believe that he's the father of her children. So now she hates him? What is this story?
And then she wants Becky to get her pregnant.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah, I'm not making this up.
That's what she said. Yeah, she really did say that. And that got a pop from the crowd. So is Maria a face, even though she was just mean? I don't understand what's happening. But yes, Maria, whether she's having a baby or not, she never, ever, 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 ever takes a bump. So.
And she just got a new contract.
And she just got a 5-year contract. Mike, Maria, Mahal, and Mojo.
Oh, it was the M's.
4 M's all got new 5-year contracts with super money to not go to AEW. I don't think AEW wanted any of them, but okay.
I wouldn't have taken any of them.
No. Backstage, Charlie's confused by what just happened in the ring. Paul Heyman comes in, and the crowd pops because they think he's going to say he's the like general manager or something. No, he says that Brock Lesnar might be here tonight. Now the Street Profits come in, and I think, okay, Heyman and the Street Profits, this could be really good. Paul's confused. All they do is Uso it up, do impressions, and mess with him. And start, like, physically assaulting him and, like, ripping his tie out and doing pranky things. Like, and then they do nursery rhymes or a song or the Rockabye Baby. They forget the words. What happened? This is not what Street Profits were.
Yeah. And Paul's not the guy you do that with. Isn't he got Brock Lesnar with him?
Yeah.
And he might even be there tonight. I wouldn't be... Yeah, and the Street Profits are like, we like to smoke. I like to smoking.
Yeah, like the Usos, they're all on drugs. I don't know what's going on. I have no idea what's happening. And also, why is Paul in? Okay, why were the Street Profits there if they never wrestled or did anything? Because if they're there to talk, ooh, that's bad.
Well, I think they're there because they love fun.
Is it because the Usos weren't there this week? Is that it?
I don't get it.
They were like, are these the better Usos?
No, they're the same Usos. Okay. They really are. I mean, did it matter which one it was?
No. Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss are walking backstage, and I thought there would be puppets, and there were no puppets. Alexa comes out for a moment of Bliss, and then she does, my thoughts go out to Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley. They're my fellow wrestlers, and I love them.
Who decides whether she wears clothing for these moments of
she
bliss
came
or
out,
wrestling?
Yeah, basically half naked in her wrestling gear. And that's the first thing Renee said was, why is she, where's her pants? And also, this is so dumb and obvious that she's going to have a match. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Well, what she calls a match. And then wait till you hear it. You will not be surprised. Why is this super mega gaslight bully heel doing thoughts and prayers for Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley?
Because it's so serious.
I hate this. Like, that's so bad. I can't wait for something real to happen. And I don't wish bad things to happen. But I'm saying the next time something bad does happen, then what are they going to do? Well, last time when we did that spot with the LED board, that was fake. But this, just like Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch's relationship, is very real. F you, WWE. So special guest Nikki Cross comes out, and she's like, oh, I'm so happy to be here. And Renee, and Carmella comes out to interrupt, wild card. And Renee yells, "About time this thing got broken up." It was like a minute. What?
I don't know. I've started tuning Renee out. Anytime she says something short, I tune it out because it never makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Anytime it's just an exclamation. And half the time she gets it wrong and just drops it and then somebody has to cover.
Yeah. Oh my God. What was the thing she said?
They have she said to stop.
They were fighting tooth and claw. Wow. Is that a thing? Is that Canadian tooth and nail? I don't know. Anyway, that's probably a thing. Carmella asks, Hey, Nikki, why didn't you get the title shot? You won it. Why don't you take it? And then so Alexa argues and Carmella wants a match. So here's your match, Alexa versus Carmella. Are you ready for the, I'm going to say every move in the match. Ready?
Ready.
Roll up. Carmella wins. Zero moves. Either one of them. One. Wow. That's perfect for Alexa. She can't wrestle. Just roll her up. Okay, so we come back from break. It's Nikki Cross versus Carmella. So Carmella has to wrestle twice. Hey, look, Nikki wins her match with multiple wrestling moves because she's a real wrestler. She can actually do things. And Alexa celebrates and they play her music, and I hate this story. And again, I like the Nikki, Alexa, you know, chemistry, but I don't like this story at all.
Well, I don't. It's what are we're running a story with a wrestler who's not wrestling. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's horrible. AJ Styles gets ready backstage. But when we come back, Alexa and Nikki are walking and Sarah Schreiber is back there. And she's like, hey, I am very awkward, but Nikki Cross, the fans say you should be maybe going for the SmackDown women's title instead of Alexa Bliss. And I didn't care what they said after that because I was just looking for puppets and there weren't any. So that
was it. I'm just looking for puppets.
So Spud and his wife are backstage and she's like, okay, no more going for the title, right? And he's like, of course. She leaves the scene and then a jobber train comes through and then Truth was hiding there the whole time. And Spud's like, no hard feelings, Truth. I'm going to go on my honeymoon. And then Spud attacks Truth violently with some luggage. That didn't look like it felt good at all. But Spud wins the title. And he grabs his wife and the title and leaves. And Renee's like, good, good. He needs to have his cake and eat it too. Good.
How?
What?
Okay, and we couldn't get anything. Was his wife angry or is she happy?
No reaction. She just leaves with him. He's like, okay, so guesses for Truth crashing the honeymoon. We have three guesses. Which one of these will it be, Larry? Will it be they're in bed and then he pops out of the covers, okay, mm-hmm. with them in the middle okay. of them, between them, and then pins Spud for the title? Or will it be pops his head out of, he's in the jacuzzi with them, the heart-shaped jacuzzi?
Okay,
or three, good. He has a hotel guy wheel in their food cart. He's under the food cart, and the hotel guy takes off a shirt, and he's the ref. Which one's better?
I was going to say room service. If you were going to go with some other third thing, I was going to say it was a room service angle.
All right, got it.
He could be the guy with a mustache, and the ref could be under the cart.
Okay, better.
But yes, I think yeah, definitely that one.
I would like to see him with a mustache on wheeling in the cart. And yeah, then,
that's what I'm saying. And the ref is in the cart.
The ref's in the cart. Yes, I'm sorry. Okay, I didn't understand. But yes, that would be funny too.
You got to do a food joke. Like R-Truth or Rockstar Spud is asking about the food, and eventually he hits him with the food, or it's a knockout pun with the food or something.
It could be, yeah. But it has to, and it should end with him, his wife saying, I want a divorce. So that's great. Okay, so here we go. Ricochet is walking, and Styles and Ricochet come out for the main event. Here we go. U.S. title match is your main event. Second week in a row, these guys wrestled the main event. This is pretty cool. Styles versus Ricochet, but it's a really quick match. And I'm like, there's so much time left. Then there's another commercial. How are they going to do this? Larry, if this is how they're going to handle the commercial breaks, then it's going to turn into Vince Russo Central.
Yeah, I don't think this is working. It can't.
How can you keep this up? This is not a sustainable business model of commercial breaks and matches. You can't.
We We ask them to be better by writing. Wrestling can be convoluted and hard to write. This makes it much worse.
Yeah. So, phenomenal forearm. AJ Styles wins the U.S. title, but Ricochet's foot was under the rope, so the refs take it away as we go to break. So it was what they call dusty finish. We were all excited for the change, and then it's not a change. When we come back from break, not only is the match restarted because of these dumb rounds things, but Gallows and Anderson are at ringside. And if you remember last week, Styles said, I don't want you here. This week, he doesn't mind so much because he's very frustrated that they took the title away. We see, this was awesome. AJ Styles a brain buster. How often in WWE, and I'm not talking about NXT, WWE, do you see a brain buster?
Yeah, and the ref sold it like that was going to end the match, which I'm glad. Yep,
it was really good. So all of a sudden, though, this match ends like 5 minutes before I think it's going to, and Ricochet gets a crafty roll-up, and he retains, and Styles is shocked. He's like, wait, I wasn't ready, or whatever. So I think perfect, because last week it ended where, and if you watch TLDR, you'll know, last week it ended where Styles and Ricochet are hugging. And I even, at the end of TLDR, had AJ say to Ricochet, he said, oh, we're friends, we're best pals, I until next week when I beat you up, but for now, no, I'm sorry, I love you. That's what I had him say. Sure enough, this week, what happens? They shake hands, Gallows and Anderson mock them for being pals, and just as an I'll show you, AJ proves himself to the two bullies, Gallows and Anderson, by beating up Ricochet. Then magic killer on Ricochet, then a Super Styles clash, and yeah, the club is back. So the story we had sensed for the last 3 or 4 weeks really worked, and it came through. Can you believe it's real?
Yeah, it was so colored by that horrible, backstage segment with them.
Oh, the hot Asian wife trade or whatever?
Yeah, that was weird. But I do look forward to more Ricochet and AJ, so that's good.
Me too.
They matched. I kind of
feel now, bad about I'm terrified
Ricochet on the mic, but
I'm terrified as to who he gets as his partners because I think it's going to be the Usos.
Could be the Profits because,
Yeah, that's race. That's true. I don't want any of them. No. No Usos, no Profits. No repeaty people on the mic, please. That's it. That's your Raw. You got any emails? You have them?
Do we?
You did.
Hello, Amy, Joe, Mr. Mutant Larry. I finally took the plunge and become a Patreon of Smart Wrestling Fan.
Thank you.
I must say, you have almost an intimidating amount of content.
There's so much to listen to.
Listeners, if you are not a Patreon or subscribe to Extra, trust me, you want to be. With the news of Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff's new role in WWE, I am actually hopeful for WWE again. Yeah. I know with Vince in charge, this can still end up being nothing, but at least it's something different. I am hopeful that I am willing to watch a whole episode of Raw and SmackDown, even though I know the chances of change this early are slim to none. Right now, I am hoping for the best, but expecting nothing. Thank you guys for everything you do, Boondock C.
Thank you.
Well, Raw was different.
It was different, and that's the thing. You can't come across it. You can't have watched it and go, well, nothing happened, because things really did happen. Stories progressed, and look at that. Like, there really were stories on Raw. So, I understand it's not all run by Paul Heyman. It's not his, things aren't probably going to change for a new direction until after Extreme Rules. I understand that because that's how that works. When the new bookers come in, then you have to wait till the pay-per-view when the feuds are over or whatever. But I saw a show that gave me hope for something,
I had mixed emotions about the shows.
I do too. Absolutely. But at least it was better than what they were doing, which is absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So
it wasn't nothing. So
no.
Yeah. It was something.
No Bray Wyatt, though. So I'm really hoping he knocks on Aleister's door. I swear to God, if Aleister's in the ring and says, you did the doorbell ditch or whatever, I'm cry.
47% chance.
I think you're right. Anything else? Or are we done?
I think we're done.
All right, we're done. We're going to get the show up so that people don't say, oh, you just did the thing and you knew about SmackDown or whatever. We don't know anything. We don't know what's going on. This really was recorded. We are now less than 2 hours from the end of Raw.
And I'm looking forward to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Might not be good, but.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens. If Eric Bischoff's on there, that's going to be weird. But, we'll see if that ever happens or if it does happen or whatever. But don't forget, please go watch TLDR, Too Long Didn't Raw, on the YouTube. Share it with your friends. Subscribe, because it's free. And become a patron of the show, smartwrestlingfan.com or patreon.com/smartwrestlingfan. But I believe we're done here. And thank you for listening. Until next time, Mr. Bucket, Buckets of Fun. Bye, everybody.